You're listening to a Stranger podcast, www.thestranger.com.
If you're stuck in a relationship quandary, or if you're looking for sexual harmony, well, there's nothing you can't ask on the Savage Lovecast.
Hey everybody, this is Dan Savage. Welcome to the Savage Lovecast, the once a week out loud version of my sex advice column, Savage Love. The way it works, people call us up, record questions. I listen to them on the fly and record some answers and occasionally call people back. Got lots of questions. We're going to get right to them.
Hi, Dan. My name is Liz, and I'm a 23-year-old girl. I have a sugar daddy who lives in another city, and every week he sends me money, and every now and then I go over there, take the bus, and fuck him, blow him, whatever. My problem is he totally doesn't turn me on, and of course not. He's 60. And he thinks he's hot stuff, likes to go down on me, but talks about how hot it is. It's gross. I would rather suck his dick and get on out of there. So should I just keep faking like I like it, or is there some tactful way to say, no, baby, I want to please you because I just want the money. But he, I guess, thinks it's hot to do whatever to me. Should I just shut up and take it since I'm getting paid, or should I say something?
Some men like to eat pussy. Some don't. Some men eat pussy out of feeling of obligation. Because assholes like me say that oral sex comes standard, and any model, I guess including the sugar daddy model that doesn't include it, should be returned immediately to the lot. He may be one of those men. He may be doing this for you, feeling like even though he's paying you for your attention and your sexual services, that he needs to reciprocate orally since you orally service him. There's no real tactful way, or there is a tactful way to check on this. You sound like you're pretty articulate and upbeat and bubbly, and you've deceived him long enough and well enough that he stays in this relationship, and he seems to think that you're enjoying it, even though you're clearly not the sexual aspect of it, not the financial aspect of it. So all you need to do is be sexy about it and say, and use those I statements and say things like, I really love sucking your dick. Oral for me, I could take or leave. It doesn't do much for me, but boy, it turns me on when I suck your dick. And do you like eating pussy? Because, if you're just doing it for me, I could live without it and just get down to sucking your dick. That's all you got to say. But if he says, I love eating pussy, I live for eating pussy, my favorite thing is to bury my face in your snatch, you're just going to have to deal.
Hi, Dan. My name is Clark. I'm a 30-year-old hetero male who got out of a long-term relationship several months ago. After I did that, while I was poking around Craigslist, I found an ad that looked very much like my ex's. No pictures, no names, but the location, how it was written, the words that were used was a dead ringer for her. The premise was, on her ad, I want to call you Superman. So I responded. She replied, and we've been corresponding ever since, most of the time daily, under the guise of Clark Kent and Lois Lane. The info we've shared, no photos, no names, makes it very obvious that it's her and that I'm me. We've not met yet, and I've been very frank that it will happen. During all of this, she said to Clark that I hold a special place in her heart, that I do have the chance of love with her. The issues that had caused our relationship to fail in the first place are ones that I'm working on and making progress, and she's aware of that. The real Lois Lane, not the fake one. The fear that I have is that she'll fall in love with someone else and be too kind to tell me. We, our real selves, not Clark and Lois, have been seeing each other, and actually our communication hasn't been better since. We've been intimate, we've gone on dates, it's like we're casually dating. She has made it very clear to me that she doesn't want to have any kind of committed relationship for a while, and I've made it very clear to her that when she does, I'd like her to be able to give me an opportunity. My question is that, what time do you feel is right to bring our identities out of hiding, or do you feel that I should continue to charade for as long as it can continue?
Hey, Clark, it's Dan Savage.
Hi, Dan.
How are you?
Oh, I'm all right.
I have a couple of follow-up questions. I just listened to your call, but I have two really important follow-up questions that I was unclear of when I listened to your message. You know you're talking to her through these persona,
right,
through the internet. Does she know she's talking to you online?
There's almost no way she couldn't, given the information that I provided to her. We dated for 2 years, and
but you guys have never said, you're still fucking and you're still seeing her, but you guys have never, when you're with each other, acknowledged that you have this correspondence going on online through this persona.
Correct. It's like we're running like a dual parallel
relationship, one of which is got a past and is kind of rekindled, and one of which is new and fresh and has kind of a whole different, almost overtone to the whole
dimension. Okay, my other follow-up question, do you like piña coladas?
And getting caught in the rain?
Getting caught in the rain, and you're not into something, and you dig champagne. I'm dating myself here, but I used to listen to oldie stations, so I'm not that old. This is the piña colada song for a new era, right?
Really?
If she doesn't know. You know, if you're going to walk into that bar, and you're both going to, like, laugh, and then go home and fuck each other silly. Okay, so help me out here, because I didn't sleep last night. So what's the question?
The question is, when do you think it's a good time, if at all, should I reveal myself to her, or should I wait for her to reveal myself, or like I said, is it better? Because like I said, what this weird kind of dual parallel correspondence has done is it has allowed us to have two things. Number one, a greater understanding really just of...
Yeah, but
of
only if she knows, it only has allowed for that to happen if she also knows, like you know, that Clark is you.
Okay, I guess there are...
You shouldn't necessarily assume that she does. You know, people sometimes can't see the nose on their face when they're staring in a mirror.
Right.
So, you know,
the capacity
to deceive themselves or to overlook something obvious should never be underestimated. And if there's been no acknowledgement when you're with each other, I mean, maybe she's enjoying this too. Maybe, you know, one of her calls, maybe I have a message from her waiting in the stack about what she should do. But it feels to me like... You know, you could do a big reveal in a fun way, a la the Pina Colada song, where you finally, as Clark, suggest a face-to-face meeting.
Well, and
show
we've
up
alluded
as you.
And we've alluded to that the whole time too. I guess a couple other of the caveats that go along with this are that me personally has accidentally revealed the email to the real person that I'm using with Clark. So that's why I know that she knows that it's me, because...
Okay, so she does know. If she's seen the actual your actual email address, that's your email address, and it's the same email address that the guy who fucks her uses, then she knows it's you, that her ex-boyfriend uses.
Right, well, but see that it's not, see?
And then that hurts my head even more. Just fucking arrange to meet her in a bar for a drink as Clark, and she can show up as Lois, and if her head explodes, you'll know that she didn't know, and if she walks in with a smirk on her face, then you'll know that she knew, and you guys can throw it on the table. If what you're interested in is getting back together, because you're able through these email communications to have the kind of intimate connection and rapport that you didn't seem to be able to have when you were dating.
Here's the two sides to it, though. Now that we've done that, when we're together as the normal people, not the aliases, we have that connection, and we have that open communication, and we have all that stuff.
But
so
she
I guess,
still doesn't, as the real person, she still says she does not interested in getting back together.
For the most part, she's been very adamant that she wants to not be in a committed relationship right now.
Alrighty.
So, like I said, I mean,
you're getting emotional support, you're getting sex, you're getting FaceTime, you're getting cinema FaceTime. What is it you're not getting out of this relationship besides a commitment? You want the commitment?
Well, eventually I do, but I don't want to pressure her to the point
where...
Throw
that out there. Eventually, you know what, this needs to be moving toward a commitment. You sound like a lady, but whatever. This needs to be moving toward a commitment for me to stay involved with you and engaged emotionally like this. And if it's not, I need to know that because then I'll go find a different Lois or I'll date Lex.
Well, she's recommended that I do that, too.
Well, there you go. How old are you?
I'm 30.
And how old is she?
She'll be... I can feel the axis coming down now. She's going to be turning 21 this week.
Ah. And how many partners did she have before she started dating you 2 years ago?
About three.
Okay, well, it sounds like she needs to... She feels she perhaps... There's always something else with you, Clark. You're a man of mystery. Every time we get a little deeper, we have to peel back on the layer. Maybe she just needs to play the field for a little while because she's so much younger than you are.
And that's kind of what I had figured, and I was fearing from when we started dating as well.
It's a legit fear. But you know what? A 9-year age gap isn't that huge a deal.
Right.
And, if she's the one you want, then...
And she is.
The price of admission is enduring... this period of, you know, ill-defined relationship status where she has the latitude to fuck you and have an emotional engagement with you, but also to date other people and fuck other guys and see what else is out there before she decides that you, in fact, are the one. And if she doesn't feel like she has enough to compare you to at this moment to make that decision, you should want her to run out there, meet some other guys, make some comparisons, and then decide you're actually the one she wants. As opposed to her committing now and then your relationship being undermined by her wondering if she made the right choice.
Right. I totally agree with that.
So my recommendation, my advice for you is just to keep doing what you're doing.
All right.
But put a bug in her ear that you're only going to be content to do this for another, you know, 24 months or so before you're going to want some sort of security because you're a big
pussy. Right. And her and I, you mean as Clark or as the real person?
I think you're a big pussy as Clark and the real person. I'm just kidding. scrotum as Clark and the real person.
Yeah.
As both. Call her bluff. But
okay.
what a fun little setup you've got there.
You know what's, like I said, it's amazing is that I stumbled across it. I mean, how many personal ads are there on Craigslist in any given day? You know, and I stumble on her.
And how many personal ads are there on Craigslist from people who say they're women who are actually women? Very, very few.
This is true. So,
Call and give us an update sometime. We want to hear how this turns out.
All right. Thank you, Dan.
Okay, bye.
Hello, Dan. I'm married now for... I've married to the lady I've known for 17 years. We have a couple of kids. We're in our early 40s. And we've always been very non-jealous people. We've always allowed each other to have flirtations and crushes, and it's been really healthy that way. I think we both understand the importance of that. But we've had a monogamous relationship. It's been great most of the time. Of course, we've had ups and downs. Currently... we're at the beginnings of a very new and somewhat sort of frightening stage, a little bit for me particularly. My wife has a very strong crush on somebody, and we're trying to understand what that means and where that should go. She's very pretty certain that she needs to take this as far as it needs to go. You know, we spent a long, long weekend just talking and being close and really trying to understand this. And I trust her, and she trusts me, and there's a great deal of love and a serious big commitment to our family. And we've talked about that's more important than anything. We cannot risk that. So what I'm asking, and what I'd love to talk with you, I don't have many people I can talk about with this. What is your experience with successful, open relationships?
Hello.
Hey, it's Dan.
Hi, Dan.
I just listened to your call. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good. Any developments since you recorded that for us?
Well, there's an evolution happening.
What's that?
But
have you guys consummated these outside contact relationships?
No, we haven't. We've talked a lot.
Good. That is the first and most important aspect of a successful, healthy degree of openness. Let's not say an open relationship. Let's say openness in a long-term relationship.
Yeah, that's part of my problem is trying to figure out how to even define this. And, you know, really it can't be defined except by us.
And, right, and you guys, and, you know, what you guys need to do is decide what you're comfortable with her doing with this person and whether you're comfortable with her doing, you know, something sexual, whatever it is that you're comfortable with her doing sexually with other people with this particular person. You know, it may help if it's a person who's also in a committed relationship who isn't a possibility for her to, like, run off with, if that's one of your fears, who isn't going to be competition around, you know...
Well,
love and romance and commitment and set
right.
a whole new relationship.
Well, that's the thing right now is that it's not, you know, the choice is not, hey, we'd like to try this out. The choice right now is this is the person. This is the person. This is the guy. And
there's somebody who's come along that she's really sexually attracted to. Who's
very much. And this has never happened with her to that degree to where she said, hey, this is something that we need. I need you to consider and to really be understand with me that we want to go there.
Does the guy represent could you see your way clear to her messing around with this guy? Or is the guy...
I'm coming to terms with it. This first came up last Saturday. And actually it was me that kind of brought it up as far as there's this lady that I've sort of been attracted to over the years, and she's kind of given these indications, not about her specifically, and in fact, that relationship was, it never really went anywhere, just hanging out, but my wife has giving me indications that, you know, hey, you might want to try this. This might be something to consider. You know, just, I think for my benefit, I really do. I think lately that has been tempered, or not tempered, but affected somewhat by her attraction to this particular man.
Which actually is often how it happens.
You know,
when I was with my partner for the first 4 years, he was crazy, psycho, clingy Mr. Monogamy, and I was fine with that because he was so...
You were
everything. He was my everything. I was like totally into it. I'm totally fine with it. I can do monogamy. And it wasn't until 4 years into the relationship, when he actually was interested in doing something with somebody else, that he realized that it was possible to do that without feeling any less in love with me and committed to me. And then he realized that I could do that too. And so it wasn't a lie when I said, you know, it's possible to be non-monogamous and still committed and, you know, put the other person first. Now, if you just want some recommendations of tools of, like, how to approach this.
Well, it's partly tools, but it's also, as much as anything, there's so many examples. I mean, there are tons of examples of, quote, open relationships or people that are non-monogamous. It doesn't work. I mean, you know.
And how many examples are there? Wait. How many,
I don't have very many.
No, wait. Shut up. Let me say something. How many examples are there of closed monogamous relationships that end in divorce?
Right. Exactly.
So, you know, and it's so many people who are in open relationships still want to be perceived as monogamous just because it's less hassle and there's less judgment.
Well, and that's the
there are tons of people in relationships that involve a degree of openness, which I prefer, even though it's much more of a mouthful, to open relationships, because we make assumptions about the degree of outside contact when you say open relationships. There are so many people in relationships with a degree of openness that nobody knows that they're swingers or that they have, you know, a get-out-of-monogamy-free card if they're in another time zone or on a business trip. There's many, many, many more non-monogamous couples out there than you realize.
Really?
And the successful ones are the ones you never hear about,
mm-hmm.
unless the people are honest about it, and very few people are, because what incentive do they have to be honest about it? Their families will be scandalized. If they have kids, they'll, you know, be looked askance at. They'll be in trouble at their church. Their parents will freak out.
Right. And that's the part that has really got us. I think emotionally, I am coming to terms with it. I mean, it's been like 5 days or something since we've been talking about this as a possibility. And it's not in specific, like, you know, these are okay activities and these are not. It's more just, this is a place, if coming from her, this is a place that I want to go. And I want it to be as free as I need to be to have this expression with him. And
Mexico, as free as I need to be would be a tripwire.
Well, okay, no, she's not saying as free as her needs. She's saying, I mean, that's not a quote. It's more that I need to be able to be with him, you know, in an open and unconflicted way, like, you know, a non-guilt way.
Right.
Yeah, she wants to sleep with him.
She wants to sleep with you. She's coming to you for permission. Here's what you do, okay? Here's how it works when it works. You are in charge. It's up to you when, how, and who she fucks that isn't you. Let me finish. She has to cede that control to you and you to her if you're going to have outside sexual contacts. That means, you know, you can't fuck her sister because that probably wouldn't be okay with her.
Right.
Right? And you can't fuck, you know, someone that you could, you know, who has designs on you. Mm-hmm. It's fine if that person has a crush on you, you have a crush on her, but if that person doesn't have any respect for the primacy of your relationship and your commitment to having some openness but staying together and your relationship being your paramount concern at all times, if that mm-hmm. outside person, whether it's your outside person or her outside person, wants to replace either of you in each other's
right.
affections, that person's a non-starter. You have a right to veto a person that she wants to fuck.
Yeah.
Your impression is that person doesn't actually respect that.
Yeah, and you know, I don't...
trying to sabotage your relationship. Now, let me keep going.
Okay.
Let me keep going.
Yeah.
And then you need to take baby steps around what's going to happen. You know, my boyfriend's going to kill me when he hears this podcast. But not that he listens to my podcast, so I can say whatever I want. You know, the first few times, dozens of times, not that we've had that many outside encounters, but the first few times it was really like, you know, very little was on the menu sexually.
Right.
You know, and you guys should look at doing that. Like if at first you're like, you know what, I'm okay with you making out with him, I'm okay with you doing mutual masturbation with him, I'm okay with you doing oral with him, but right now for my comfort level, for my sense of primacy and security, I really feel like full vaginal intercourse should be for us. And there's a lot of heterosexuals who are involved in the organized swinging movement who only do oral and manual with others. And you know, vaginal intercourse is something that they, these straight couples who are married who are swingers, reserve for, you know, their primary partner, for their, you know, as a part of, you know, some symbolic representation of the depth of their commitment and waka waka and holding this one thing in reserve. And you should maybe think about doing that at first. Because you can be intimate, you can be with somebody, you can, you know, fully get it on and have orgasms without having intercourse.
Sure. And I have actually, we've sort of talked about that. Part of my thing is I can deal with it in sort of a larger respect, and I can take little glimpses of, have little snapshots of imagining them together, but I don't want to know the details. It's just something, there's, like you say, it's a primacy. It's a
detail. You don't think you want to know the details.
Really?
You might want to read, there's a book, I think it's just called Swinging, and I can't remember the author, but you could look it up very easily. It's on the organized swinging movement. It's a writer out of Canada. There is a syndrome called sperm competition syndrome that exists in mammals where primates, and we are primates, if they, or any other sort of mammal vertebrate, goes away from their primary partner or like a girl in their harem and they come back, you know, if it's a bull or a lion or an ape that gets to fuck whatever, you know, all the ladies, come back and they believe that there's a possibility that their sex partner may have another man's, you know, another male's sperm inside her, will have a longer, more intense and stronger orgasm with a greater volume of semen to flush out the competing semen. And a lot of people believe that what organized swinging is about, where guys will watch another guy have sex with their wife, is manipulating that jealousy sperm competition response because it provides more intense orgasm. So I wouldn't right now, you know, rule out forever the possibility that you won't want to hear the details. There's a lot of people out there who are in open relationships, and one of the perks for the partner, you know, who didn't go out and have sex with somebody else is hearing about it and boning the shit out of their partner later. It feels like you guys could put, you know, you could let each other off on the leash a little bit longer. And just as long as you're constantly checking in, you're constantly talking, you're thinking about it, not overthinking it, because overthinking is the death of erotic.
Well, it's hard not to, though.
But it sounds like you guys are in a really good spot where you can do this and do it successfully. Good luck.
Thanks, Dan. I really appreciate it.
Bye.
Hi, Dan. I'm a 25-year-old woman and am straight, but bi-curious. I have two married couple friends that have a pretty good relationship, and the man has been making some clear suggestions that they would like to seduce me. It's been pretty casual the way he's brought it up, but I'm sure that he wants me. His wife may or may not be interested. I'm really not sure. However, I am attracted to him, and I would love to have sex with him. I don't know if I'm ready for a threesome yet, and my reason for hesitating is primarily out of concern for his wife's feelings. I'm friends with both of them, and I want to keep it that way. So I would really like to hear your take on how to proceed, if I should proceed. It seems like there are protocols for handling these matters, and I don't want to hurt anyone. So any advice you can offer is very much appreciated.
Hey, Christy, it's Dan.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. Have you fucked this guy yet?
No.
Good. Good. Because the only protocol you have to follow in a situation like this is a chat with the wife.
Okay.
And really feeling her out. And I didn't say up, I said out, and not eating, feeling, to make sure it's okay with her. Because, you know, some people, some guys who are cheaters, will fly under the radar of, oh, we're an open relationship, and she's fine with it. But, you know, she doesn't like to talk about it. It makes her embarrassed. So don't talk to her about it. Just, like, take my word for it that she's fine with it. Those guys are liars. Like, it's an open relationship. You should be able to verify that by just even having an email exchange with her or a chat with her, where you're like, hey, he's doing this, and I'm not down with three-way, but if you're comfortable with me and him getting it on because you're in an open relationship and you're out banging other guys, I'm fine with it, and I don't want to affect our friendship. You just have to say exactly what you said to me, to her.
Right.
And if he doesn't want you to say any of that to her, be worried.
Okay, so I should mention it to him before I contact the wife.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because that might, you know, then he might go, oh, no. Like, all right, busted, cheater.
Yeah.
But you should say to him, oh, I'm totally down with it. But I really need to, I feel like for my own safety and security and out of respect for my friendship for your wife, I need to talk to her about it.
So this is going to be like a planned thing. This is not going to be like we're hanging out in a different city. Because with the situation, the reason why I called is because, like, I think we might actually, like, have an opportunity. Because she's going away, and there's a band that's playing in a city kind of halfway between where we live. And he got a ticket, and I got a ticket. And
great. All you need to do is have a chat with the wife before you guys are all alone together.
Yeah.
And if he's in an actual open relationship, and if you're being truthful about not wanting to damage this friendship you have with his wife, then you should want to have that chat with her.
And, definitely.
And, you know, if they have a real functional open relationship, they'll be able to have that chat. If they have a dysfunctional, non-open, adulterous relationship going on that she doesn't know about, they won't be able to have the chat. Or if they have a fucked up open relationship where you're going to get, you know, cast in the role of the bad guy, she's not going to want to chat with you. You know, whatever it is, if she doesn't want to talk to you, just don't go there.
Okay.
You need her blessing. You need her blessing. And you need it from her lips.
Yeah, and I should definitely just be as, you know, forthright and open as possible with things that he said, or should I just kind of play it neutral? I mean, I'm not sure how much
you need to say it to her first, or to him first.
Right.
Say, hey, I'd love to, open relationship, great, don't have a problem, you know, fuck buddies, friends with benefits, a piece on the side for a while, great, happy to play that part in your relationship, but, you know, I assume it's okay with your wife, and I need to hear it from her. That's all you got to say.
Okay.
You can just say to him, have her give me a call.
Yeah.
So you don't have to, so then you'll know that when the phone rings and it's her, that they've talked about it. And then you don't have to, like, do a full disclosure, everything he ever said to you, waka, waka, waka. You just have to say, hey, thanks for calling. Okay if I fuck your boyfriend and have a laugh.
Yeah, it's the husband.
Husband, boyfriend, but, whatever.
Yeah, but okay, yeah, so I guess I'm just a little bit nervous about breaching the conversation to begin with, because like I said, like, it's been a lot of, you know, sort of suggestive comments, maybe put off in, like, almost a joking way, but in that sort of joking way where, like, hey, no, really. You know what I'm saying?
Right, and
so
there's nothing wrong with...
suck it up.
The problem with the problem that people will have is, like, there'll be insinuations, there'll be little jokes, there'll be hints, and someone will feel like, oh, it's going to really ruin the mood if I'm just really direct.
Yeah.
You know, because we have this flirtation going, and if I go, hey, bang, I'll do you, need her permission, what, bang, that it's going to, like, you know, ruin everything. It's going to ruin the spell. And that's just not true. It actually makes it feel that much closer. It makes the impending reality of it that much more intense. If you go, if somebody's being flirty with you and you just look at them and go, I will totally fuck the shit out of you. Have your wife call me and tell me it's okay. You're just calling their bluff. It's part of the game. But, like, backing into a situation where you're doing things that you're not sure you should be doing with somebody you're not sure has permission to be doing them with you, where you feel like you might be violating because you're afraid of, you know, being direct, and then you accidentally wind up in bed with this guy, I guarantee you that that feeling is going to be a lot worse than whatever discomfort you have with just laying your cards on the table.
Yeah, because then you feel like, while it's going on, like, should I really be doing this? And then afterwards, did we do the wrong thing? Yeah. So just bring it out in the open so everybody's on the same page. And if she says, no, I'm not comfortable with it, just respect her wishes.
Yes, absolutely. If she says, no, I'm not comfortable with it, don't do it.
Cool. It's so simple.
It is really simple. It's communication.
Well, thank you for saying what I should have known all along.
Restating the obvious is what they pay me the big bucks for.
But, you know, I'm nervous because I've never done anything like this, and I, you know, obviously want to.
I think you'll be really good at it.
Great. Thank you very much, Dan.
Bye.
Okay.
Yo, Dan. This is Sarah. I'm 21, and I could not be any more thrilled to be lesbian, but my parents don't feel that way at all. I told them about 3 years ago, and they're not cool with it at all. My mom has been hot and cold. She does P-Flag meetings, which is awesome, and she tries to be supportive in whatever way she can, I guess. But my dad has said flat out that he'll never accept me, and I haven't really spoken to him about it at all in the 3 years that he's known. It's really hindered my coming out process. I haven't told the rest of my family because I've been so heartbroken that my parents don't accept me. But lately I've really felt like I've wanted to continue and tell the rest of my family. It's really starting to bother me. But so the complicated thing is that my brother recently came out to me, which is awesome, and I think it's so cool that I have a gay little bro. But he is terrified of coming out to my parents with good reason, because he's seen how they've treated me, and he's gotten a lot of hostility from mom about me. I don't know if we want to come out together, if that's going to be too much for my family to handle a double outing. I think first you need to come out to my parents, and we're their only two children, so that's, I don't know how my parents, who are already homophobic, are going to be able to handle that.
Hello?
Hey, it's Dan.
Dan, I was just listening to you.
You were? What a happy coincidence. Where are you?
I'm driving.
Oh, you're driving and talking on the cell phone, which is very dangerous.
Yeah, I'm going to pull over, though.
Okay, pull over. I don't want to get anybody killed.
No, I'll try not to die on the phone. That would probably be embarrassing for you.
I wouldn't want to deprive your dad of the colossal mindfuck he's in for when both this gets out to him. And,
oh, yeah.
The one thing you didn't mention that I wanted to ask you, I was calling with a follow-up, is how old's your brother?
He's 18.
And he lives at home?
College. No, he's at college right now.
Mm-hmm. Are mom and dad paying for college?
Yeah, they are. But, you know, they continue to pay for my college once I came out. So I really don't think that financial dependence is an issue.
So they're not going to use that as leverage.
Right.
Okay, you guys should come out to them right away.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to get any easier or less ugly the longer you wait. In fact, the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the fact that your dad and your mom were kind of shitty to your brother after you came out about the homosexuality issue is probably not a coincidence. They may suspect or know or have uncovered evidence that he might be gay too. You know, parents aren't idiots.
My parents kind of are, though. I mean, I transferred from one women's college to another, and they never even suspected that I was a lesbian.
Well,
didn't even cross their minds.
It may have crossed their minds after you came out, that the other kid might be gay, or they may have uncovered evidence or gone on a big snoop, and they may have been particularly assholey to him about it to try to blackmail him into never coming out. Right? Which frequently happens. When one kid comes out, the parents will be super psycho, pricky to other kids about it as a way of drawing a line in the sand and say, all right, we have one out kid, no more. Particularly if they suspect one of their other kids is queer. Which may be the case here, or maybe not. Maybe your parents are really that dense.
Well, I feel like they're depending on him to be the normal one, you know? To be the straight one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of pressure, especially since...
It is. I had a boyfriend once when I was very young whose older brother came out, or younger brother came out right before he was planning to come out, and then he felt he couldn't come out because they were only two sons in the family, and mom and dad came down on him about the family name, and they'd at least have one big straight wedding, and blah, blah. And so what he did was he waited five more years, and it just was so much worse.
Wow.
Because all their hopes and expectations and, you know, dependence on this one kid grew in that time exponentially. And you guys need to nip it in the bud. And you need to come out to the whole fucking family. You can't let, you know, mom and dad being dicks about it nail your closet door shut. They don't get to make that choice for you.
Yeah. Well, do we come out together? We're like, oh, we're gay, both of us. I mean,
well, you're already out.
I'm not out to my extended family.
Yeah, you come out together to the extended family, if you like. I mean, the way coming out to extended family usually works is word just spreads. So you guys don't have to have, like, a coming out party where you both show up in matching debutante balls and flounce around the room, right? All you need to do is, like, let a couple of aunts know or let a couple of cousins know and let them know that you don't care who knows, and it'll be done for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just feel like it might be taboo around my family, and they won't even, like, they'll just dance around it, and it, I don't know, it'll be really awkward, you know?
Of course it's going to be fucking awkward. And, you know, boo fucking who? It'd be awkward if you fell in love with a black guy and you were marrying a black guy and your family had a problem with interracial relationships. Awkwardness isn't something that, you know, we get some sort of guarantee we're not going to encounter in our, over our lifetimes and with our families.
Yeah.
You just have a really obvious source of it. And it's not getting less awkward, and your anticipation of how very awkward it's going to be may not come to pass. It may not be accurate.
Yeah.
It could be a big, happy, gay party.
I hope so. That'd be nice.
But come out.
Okay.
It's not going to get better in the closet.
You're right.
I mean, his brother's going to be 30 one day, and mom and dad are going to be pressuring him to marry, and then he's going to tell them?
Yeah.
At least
right.
You have each other.
Yeah.
At least, even if the whole family fucking flips and you're disowned, you've got each other.
Yeah, that's the one really thing. And my friends are joking that my parents will get a son-in-law and a daughter-in-law, but not exactly how they anticipated. Or we're thinking of just, you know, not coming out to our families and just switching our significant others family events.
That would be a fun premise for a movie in a bad gay film festival, but to live that way all your lives would be a little complicated.
Yeah, it's true.
So, pull the trigger.
Cool.
Talk to you later.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks so much, Dan.
Bye.
Dan, my name is Ed. I live in West Virginia. I'm 61 years old and happily gay. I just recently found out about your books, and I read two of them this week that I got from Amazon, and I wanted to know more about you. I think it was your age that I was wondering about, because some of the things you wrote about seemed like you were older than you really are. But anyway, I found out your age on Wikipedia in the bio section, and then that had a link to your podcast. And I wanted to tell you, I've listened, I think, to about three of them. And I just listened to the last one. I think it's the 8th of May or the 6th of May or whatever. And I sat here with tears running down my face. I have to tell you, I don't think I've ever had an experience just listening to something like that. And I think you're doing amazing, really amazing work. And I just wish you the best. And I wanted to thank you. You know, I probably need all kinds of help, but at 61, I'm pretty much comfortable and happy. But I'm happier now that I've found about all this stuff about you.
I usually don't run the calls I get where people are just, you know, praising me and thanking me and weeping because I hate myself too much for that. Praise makes me uncomfortable, whereas being an Irish Catholic self-hating queer bay weirdo, calls of people are screaming at me and beating me up and really angry with me, those fucking turn my crank, which should give people who hate me pause before they call to scream at me, because I actually really dig that. But I'm making an exception for your call just because I wanted to point out that my age on my Wikipedia page is wrong. Clearly, whoever put that Wikipedia page together has dyslexia, because I'm not 43, I am 34.
Hi, Dan. This is a member of the Fatosphere calling, but I'm not to complain. Actually, I'm just listening to a podcast, and you had a really great comment for the young gay guy, 27-year-old, who put on 100 pounds, and that was just do your thing, lose your weight, and, you know, live your life as you're doing it, and get out there and you meet people while you're doing what you're doing. And as someone who has spent, you know, years, you know, fighting with myself about what I am and who I am, and being a member of Fatosphere, that's probably the best advice I've ever had from anyone. And there have been professional people who I've had down with, had conversations with, who didn't get to it as good as you did. That was just perfect. And it meant something to me as someone who is, you know, still struggling, but not a bitter member of Fatosphere, someone who's a little bit chunky but puts on my low-cut top and my tight jeans and goes out on a Friday night just like anybody else would. But just wanted to make sure if you do get those angry calls from Fatosphere, you got one non-angry call from Fatosphere. Thanks a bunch, and I love the podcast. Bye.
So much praise. I can't take it. Didn't get very many angry calls from the Fatosphere about my advice for the gay kid who put on 100 pounds. A couple of angry calls from the gay body fascist watch league. about telling a gay guy who put on 100 pounds in a year and a half that maybe he has a weight problem. The only one I thought I wanted to share what the person, the info the person sent me was somebody who pointed out that someone who puts on that much weight that rapidly may have a thyroid condition. It's a very simple blood test. And he recommended that I tell this kid that in addition to getting off his ass, leaving the house, stop chewing whatever it is he's chewing, that he get his thyroid checked. So I'm passing that along. We got a couple of emails this week I wanted to read about the caller whose girlfriend had been the victim of sexual violence or rape. And he was interested in BDSM and they didn't know quite how to navigate her flashbacks around sexual violence while they were indulging in pseudo-sexual violence. The listener writes, listening to the Savage Lovecast today in Germany, ooh, I just had to react to the caller with the BDSM rape survivor girlfriend. Incorporating light BDSM into your sex life under those circumstances is possible. I'm a 20-something student and was sexually abused during my childhood teenage years and was convinced that I'd never get over it, even with therapy, which didn't help much. Then I met my husband. He is the gentlest, sweetest, most patient kinkster ever. Whereas I am was rather vanilla-like. However, we have an amazing amount of trust between us, which is how I gradually was able to venture out into the wonderful world of kink and BDSM. It's a matter of trust and patience, which I think really helped us get where we are now. Signed, happily tied up and spanked in Germany and horny as hell, Lara. Thanks for sharing, Lara. All right, we're going to leave it there this week. 206-201-2720 is the number. If you'd like to record a question for a future podcast, try to keep it under 2 minutes. Leave us a phone number in case we want to call you back. You download the podcast every week at thestranger.com/savage, and I blog every day at slog.thestranger.com. Slog, the stranger's blog. Read it every day. God damn it. And we're going to have Dr. Barak Gaster back on the show. He's our resident medical advice professional. It's sort of the low point of his week, I think, when he gets an email from me. But we appreciate his insight, and he's going to be back on the show. So if you have a specifically medical question that you feel like you need a doctor's POV and not just an obnoxious lippy faggot's POV, now would be the time to record a question for that upcoming podcast. 206-201-2720. Thanks for listening. Me and the tech-savvy at-risk youth. We'll be back at you next week with another podcast.